Hello, dear friends. My name is Michael Pickford, evangelist for the Southside Church of Christ in Smyrna, Tennessee, and I want to thank you for taking the time to listen to the following sermon. Please follow the example of those noble-hearted folks in Acts 17:11 and compare the following teaching with the Word of God. If, after careful examination, you feel the things I've taught are in accordance with God's Word, then I exhort you to apply these truths to your life, so that you may be a faithful servant of the Lord. On the other hand, if you believe I've taught error in any way, please contact me, and let's study together and try to come to the right conclusion based upon God's holy Word. You can find my contact information on our website at defendthegospel.com. That's defendthegospel.com. Now to the sermon. And so the title of our lesson this morning will be Christian Dailies. You know, we understand the need for many things in life that are daily. Most of us eat every day. Most of us bathe every day. We brush our teeth, floss, some do. And I'm sure that we all breathe every day. There are many things that we understand that we need to tend to daily. In fact, many of these things we hardly even think about. They just come second nature. Because we're in such a routine and such a habit, and we've been in such habits our entire lives. We just do them. We call it second nature. Well, there are many things for the child of God that should be recognized and done daily. In fact, I suggest these things ought to be second nature to the one who is a Christian, a child of God. And yet these things are sometimes neglected in our lives. Now, I want to talk about seven this morning. Seven Christian dailies. In the first place, let's talk about the renewing of the inner man. Now, 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 16, Paul said, "Therefore we do not lose heart, even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day." Now, in that context, Paul is talking about situations that he's found himself in, very trying and struggling situations that he's gone through in order to preach the gospel and share the gospel and just live faithful as a Christian. There are times when he was hard-pressed. There are times when he didn't see any way out. He talked about how we die daily. We die daily. And so he's always meeting possibilities or situations to where his life was at stake. There were times when he was stoned. There was times when he was shipwrecked. Many times Paul's life was in jeopardy because of his preaching of the gospel. And he needed that daily renewal. And so he talks about the fact that his inward man is being renewed day by day. No wonder Paul described his faithfulness as a fight. Remember 2 Corinthians 4, 6 to 8, when Paul was nearing his death, he said, "I'm already being poured out as a drink offering," a reference to his death, "and the time of my departure is at hand. I fought the good fight. I finished the race. I've kept the faith. And finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give me on that day, and not to me only, but also to all who have loved his appearing." And so Paul fought that fight. He finished that race. He kept the faith because he's thinking about that crown of righteousness. This is how we renew ourselves day by day. It's how Paul did it, by focusing not on all the troubles and problems that bring us down, but by meditating on the reward, on what it's all for. He renewed himself, he refreshed and strengthened himself by staying focused on the ultimate prize, his home in heaven. You know, if we're distracted from our reward, the struggles that we face day by day, whether they're struggles because of the fact that we're Christians or they're struggles that we face just that are common to mankind, such as sickness and tragedy and bereavement, if we don't stay focused on the prize and what it's all for, these struggles may defeat our faith. Jesus says in Matthew 5, 10 to 12, "Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." And so the blessing is that the result is the reward. "Blessed are you," he said, "when they revile and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my sake. They make up lies about you. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad." Why? "For great is your reward in heaven, for so they persecuted the prophets who were before you." And so we need the daily renewing of the inner man. Here's a second Christian daily, and that is the reading of the Word of God. Does that come natural to you?
Has this become a habit that's so ingrained into your life and your lifestyle that it just comes natural to you to read the Word of God? When you're at work during the day, you're having a hard day at work, are you thinking in your mind about that time when you get to get home? I can't wait to get home and sit down and have my quiet time with my Bible and have my daily Bible reading. Or are you thinking all through the day, oh, my favorite show is coming on tonight? For a lot of people, it's my favorite Monday night show is coming on. Then Tuesday, my favorite Tuesday night show is coming on. Then Wednesday, my favorite Wednesday night show. Thursday, my favorite Thursday. It's all about thinking about that favorite show that's coming up and coming on. And we find the time to watch that show or shows. We find 2 to 3 to 4 hours every evening to sit down in front of the television. Can we spend 20 minutes reading the Word of God? Is that something that we look forward to? Is that something that we crave? You know, those in Acts 17:11 were called noble-hearted because they searched the Scriptures, here's our word, daily. In Nehemiah's day, they recognized the value of reading God's law, as the verse says, day by day. Nehemiah 8, verse 18. Also, day by day, from the first day to the last day, he read from the book of the law of God. Paul told Timothy in 2 Timothy 2:15, be diligent or study to present or show yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. How are we going to know the word of God so well that we don't come across occasions to where we're ashamed of our knowledge or ashamed of our handling of Scripture because we know it so well? How can we do that? By being diligent and studying it and reading it every day. There were people in the Bible who failed to do that. In Hebrews 5, 12 to 14, the Hebrews writer said, though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God. And you've come to need milk and not solid food. They haven't been taking their daily milk and their daily meat, their daily reading, their daily study from the Word and will of God. And as such, they set themselves up for ignorance. They set themselves up for laziness when it comes to sharing the gospel because they don't know it that well. And they don't feel comfortable trying to talk to other people about it because of their ignorance, because they hadn't been studying like they should. And they make themselves susceptible to religious error. The best defense against religious error is to know the truth. That way when you hear religious error, you'll think, wait a minute, I read something else in the Bible. Because you know the Bible. In 2 Peter 3:17 and 18, Peter said, you therefore, beloved, since you know this beforehand, beware lest you also fall from your own steadfastness, being led away with the error of the wicked. We can be led away with the error of the wicked. What's the answer? He says it in the next verse, in the next breath. He says, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be the glory both now and forever. Amen. Listen, there's not a Bible pill, a Bible vitamin. You take it every morning and it puts knowledge in your head and go about your business. You can't lay your Bible on your pillow at night and lay your head on it and hope that the knowledge is going to soak into your brain while you're sleeping at night. You can't even put it in a tape recorder and play it through the night while you're sleeping and hope to take in the knowledge. It just doesn't work that way. We need to sit down every day and we need to read and study the Word of God as newborn babes. 1 Peter 2, verse 2. Desire the pure milk of the Word that you may grow thereby. 1 Peter 3:15, Peter says, sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you a reason for the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. Years ago, I heard about a man who was in a terrible accident and his whole body was burned, almost beyond recognition. Even his eyes were burned out. He couldn't see. He couldn't hear. He even lost his finger, all the sensation in his fingers. He couldn't learn Braille. But he had within him this grand desire after that accident to read the Word of God. And so according to the story, he learned how to read Braille with the tip of his tongue. And he sat down, not in one sitting, but he worked his way through the entire Bible, read the entire Bible with the tip of his tongue. I think about myself with my two good eyes and all the time that I have, that I can sit down and devote a few minutes a day to reading the Word of God. A few weeks ago I mentioned that there's all kinds of reading programs out there, and I'm always putting together different ones for different years to follow each of the year to mix it up. And I run across two different ones that I combine, where in about 40 minutes a day, you can read the New Testament, the whole New Testament, 12 times a year, and the entire Old Testament twice a year. Now, you're thinking, 40 minutes? Well, how about 20 to 25 minutes a day? I found some programs where in just 20 to 25 minutes a day, you can read the entire New Testament 6 times in 1 year and the entire Old Testament 2 times in 1 year. That's 20 to 25 minutes a day. Can we do that? Think of how familiar you'll become with the Word of God. If you're reading the Old Testament twice a year and the New Testament all the way through 6 times a year, that will keep the Word of God on your mind and you're ready to go and you have the knowledge that you need. This ought to be a Christian daily. Here's a third Christian daily, and that's praying. Do we neglect prayer in our life? You know, Daniel was under the gun, and he got in big trouble for breaking a law that was passed that forbade him from praying. But once he knew the law was signed in Daniel 6:10, we're told that he prayed 3 times that day. And then it says, as was his custom. That was his habit. It was a daily for him. It was a no-brainer, as we say. To go to God in prayer. You know, a lack of daily prayer can cause us to lose heart in this battle of the faith. The psalmist in Psalm 88 verse 9 said, my eyes waste away because of affliction. Lord, I have called daily upon you. I have stretched out my hands to you. And so here he sets that example of praying and calling daily. There's our word, daily upon the Lord, stretching our hands out to God. Recognizing His reality, recognizing His love and care and concern for us, recognizing His power to act on our behalf. And so instead of losing heart, we ought to pray regularly. Luke 18:1, the Lord spoke a parable to them that men always ought to pray and not lose heart. We should daily ask God to forgive us of our sins. The psalmist again in Psalm 86:3, be merciful to me, O Lord, for I cry to you all day long for mercy, asking for the forgiveness of sins. We face daily temptations, daily struggles, daily challenges. We need our daily food. Others need our daily prayers. We ought to pray without ceasing, 1 Thessalonians 5:17. In Matthew 6:11, in the model prayer, the Lord said, give us this day our daily bread. Every day we ought to ask God for the things we need and thank Him for blessing us so richly. Here's number 4 in the Christian dailies, and that's worship. Now, certainly we're commanded to come together as a church, with the church, to worship God. That is crucial and critical to our steadfastness and to our keeping the commandments of the Lord. Because in Hebrews 10:25, we're commanded not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some. We have all the disciples in Acts 20 and verse 7 coming together upon the first day of the week. In Acts 16:1-3, Paul talks about when they come together that we ought to lay something by in store. So we have all these commandments. Certainly our public worship with the church is essential to being a faithful servant of the Lord. But we can and should worship God every day. We can't partake of the Lord's Supper every day or give every day. Those two are excluded based upon the details given in their mandates. But certainly we can pray every day. Did you know praying is worship? And when you pray to God, that's worship. We pray every day. That's daily worship. How about singing every day? Worshiping God in song. In James 5:13, if anyone is cheerful, let him sing psalms. You ever sing worship songs while you're driving down the road or sitting in your living room? The other night I was sitting in my office working and the door was closed and Justin was in the bathroom doing his nighttime routine, brushing, and he has a little shaver, play shaver, he shaves. And I heard him in there singing, "He's Still Working on Me." You ever heard that song? He was singing religious songs while he was going about his business. You ever do that? If anyone is cheerful, let him sing psalms. And we can worship God on a daily basis. Pray without ceasing, reading every day, Acts 17, verse 11. Worship God daily. Here's number 5. We need daily exhortation. It's important for us to be aware of one another on a daily basis, but not just a couple of times a week at services. The Hebrews writer recognized the value of daily exhortation against temptations. In Hebrews 3:12 and 13, he said, beware, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. But exhort one another, here's our word, daily, while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. Now, Mike, you mean I got to get my directory out and call every single member of the local church where I am every day and check on them and give them some exhortation? I'm not sure that that's what he had in mind here. But there is something we can do every day for some of our brethren, isn't there? Maybe you can call somebody who needs some particular encouragement. Or maybe you can just stick a small note in the mail, just a short little sentence is all it takes. You can even do a postcard and stick a postcard stamp on it, save some money. Send that to a couple of members every day, just saying, hey, I appreciate you and the work you're doing. Imagine how much that'd mean to somebody to go to their mailbox and pull that out and get that from you. How that would make their day. And so there are things that we can do. These days it could be an email, it could be a text. There's all kinds of ways that we can exhort one another daily, what it is called today, to help keep one another strong and faithful to the Lord. The Bible recognizes that we need that daily exhortation. In Acts 2:46, we read about those first saints. So continuing daily, with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart. The idea is they were a large part of each other's lives on a daily basis. This was truly their family in Christ, and they acted like that. Let's move on to number 6. We're talking about Christian dailies. How about our daily cross? Now, oftentimes the word cross is used to signify sacrifice. And so our daily cross refers to our suffering and sacrifice. When we talk about the cross of Christ, we're talking about His suffering and sacrifice for mankind. We have a daily cross. We face daily sacrifices as children of God. I mean, Paul told Timothy that anyone who desires to live godly in this present age will suffer persecution. The psalmist said, Psalm 13:2, how long shall I take counsel in my soul, having sorrow in my heart daily? Daily sorrow. How long will my enemy be exalted over me? Well, as Christians, we face that enemy every day, don't we? We face our enemy, the devil, 1 Peter 5:8, who's out there like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. He's out there every day. We get up in the morning and there he is trying to tempt us to either be lazy or to look at something on the internet we shouldn't, or whatever it may be. He tempts us at work to get angry or to be impatient. And in other situations, the devil's always out there. He's always busy. Every day he tries to tempt us on a daily basis. And it's a struggle to stay faithful. He's always looking for a way to bring us down, either through temptations or to sin, or trying to deceive us by error, or through persecutions or rejection by friends or loved ones, or ridicule and mockery from those in the world, or discouragement. But it's important for us to make daily sacrifices in order to faithfully serve the Lord. Remember what the Lord said in Luke 9:23? He said to them all, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily. There's our word. And follow me. The Lord from the very beginning said it's not going to be easy to be a servant of mine. There's going to be crosses. There's going to be sacrifices. You're going to have to make them. You're going to have to make some tough decisions. You're going to have to give up some beloved things. But it's all going to be worth it. But it must be done to serve the Lord. The psalmist in Psalm 56:2 said, my enemies would hound me all day, for there are many who fight against me, O Most High. Thankful we have the Lord and His strength to lean on and to have victory through. Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And then finally this morning, talking about Christian dailies, we need to keep our eyes and minds focused upon our daily blessings. It's easy to find all those things to complain about, isn't it? All the things that go wrong. But don't do that. Focus on all the wonderful things God has blessed us with in our life. Keep your mind focused on that. Psalm 68:19, the psalmist said, blessed be the Lord who daily, there's our word, He daily loads us with benefits. Not daily gives us a crumb here and a crumb there, but daily He loads us with benefits. The God of our salvation. God has loaded us down with blessings and benefits in this life. In many ways, we have become spoiled by all the blessings that we're just engulfed in. And we complain when some of these really luxuries are taken away from us. I mean, the things that are just regular part of our lives that just about anybody can have and does have used to be luxury items. You got a little lotion that's scented and smell good, you put it on your hands every day. A lot of people do that. That used to be a luxury. There was a time when few people had access to any of that. Many people never even heard of lotion. Now you can go down to Walmart and see three aisles full of it. You can get a bottle of it for 99 cents probably, if you want to go cheap. But most of us are so blessed we could get the quality brand, couldn't we? I mean, everywhere around us, we're just surrounded with blessings, and we just take them for granted. And when something goes wrong, we get frustrated and act like spoiled children. We need to think about these daily blessings that God gives to us every single day, and not become discontented and even selfish with our worldly possessions. We need to remember that every good and every perfect gift comes down from the Father of lights, James chapter 1 and verse 17. On a daily basis, we need to go to God in prayer and ask Him for the things that we need and thank Him for the wonderful things that we have. And that passage we quote so often, 1 Thessalonians 5:17, pray without ceasing. The next verse says, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Just about all the prayer passages throughout the New Testament, thanksgiving is mentioned. Colossians 4:2, continue earnestly in prayer, being vigilant in it with thanksgiving. Everything's about thanksgiving. Ephesians 5:20, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's always about thanksgiving, isn't it? Philippians 4:6-7, where the Apostle Paul says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. 1 Timothy 2, where Paul said in verse 1, I exhort first of all that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men. Look at that over and over again. Be thankful. For we are loaded down daily with benefits and blessings from the Almighty God. Christian dailies. Well, there's the list I come up with. Maybe you have some to add to it. But let's not neglect these. Every day, let's try to renew our inner man by focusing upon the prize in heaven. Every day, let's read God's Word and study it. Let's pray regularly every day. Let's worship God every day. We can sing psalms to Him if we're cheerful. We can pray to Him, read His Word. Let's be mindful of our brethren every day and try to exhort and to encourage whenever and wherever we can. Let's be mindful of the daily cross, and we all have to bear it. There are sacrifices that we all have to make in order to be faithful to the Lord. And never take your eye off of the daily blessings, the daily benefits that the Lord God, in His mercy, loads us down with. Let's pray.
Hello, dear friends. My name is Michael Pickford, and I'd just like to ask you a question. Are you a child of God? Are you really a Christian? I mean the way the Bible says to become a Christian. The Bible teaches that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God, Romans 10:17. After we hear, we must believe that Jesus is the Son of God. In John 8:24, the Lord said, unless you believe that I am He, you'll die in your sins. After hearing and believing, we must be willing to repent of our sins, change our lives, decide to serve the Lord, Acts 2:38. Now we're ready to confess our faith in Christ. Romans 10:9-10 says that with the heart we believe unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Now we are prepared for baptism. The Lord said in Mark 16:16, he who believes and is baptized shall be saved. In Acts 22:16, Ananias said to Saul, why are you waiting? Arise and be baptized, and wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord. Do you want your sins washed away? This verse tells us how it is done. After doing this, we are now a Christian, a child of God, and we are commanded to remain faithful to the Lord until we die in order to receive the crown of life. Revelation 2:10. Again, thank you for listening, and have a wonderful day.